You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Wednesday. I'm more of a Michael Olowokandi than an Anthony Bennett, but welcome to the program. NBA draft coming up tonight. We got that covered. A little bit later on, Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, he'll join us. Indiana head football coach Tom Allen will stop by. They got a big game with the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend, 21-point underdogs. Phone calls are always welcome, so are the emails, so are the tweets. We have a stat of the day, play of the day. McLevin will do the honors with a poll question coming up. Sometimes the NBA draft is really easy. You just go, we'll take LeBron James, or the Magic say, we'll take Shaquille O'Neal, or the Spurs say, we'll take Tim Duncan. Tonight, not that kind of draft. There's no sure thing, no number one player, no obvious franchise transforming talent. Now, there might be later on. Usually what happens is we look at the top five picks, and then we forget about all the other picks in the first round. That's usually where you find your gold. You got Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball. There's less pressure on a team like the Timberwolves if they take one of these players. Now, LaMelo is a little bit different. He's got name recognition. He's like the NBA's Kardashian. But everyone else in the draft, just like LaMelo Ball, developmental prospect here. And maybe this is one of those drafts that will be noteworthy because you'll have somebody like Giannis with the 15th pick overall in 2013, or Kobe, number 13 back in 1996. And I'm not saying there's that guy out there, but there are those players. And they're less known to us because there was no March Madness and some of these players who played overseas. Smart teams will have an advantage coming up tonight. We may not know for some time who really did well in this very unusual draft. And you start with Minnesota. I think Minnesota is going to take Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. I, unlike most people, watched Anthony Edwards play games at Georgia, not just highlights. And I think he's the safest pick. He's a two-way player. He's built, ready to play in the NBA right now, and seems like a little bit more of a finished product than some of these other players. James Wiseman played three games. I did watch the one game against Oregon. I didn't. I watched a game with James Wiseman with Oregon. And then you have LaMelo Ball. And Golden State is there at number two. There's talk that maybe they send the second pick to the Chicago Bulls in exchange for the fourth pick overall and Wendell Carter Jr. Kevin O'Connor, the NBA writer for The Ringer, is suggesting that as a potential deal to keep an eye on. You know how I feel about LaMelo and LiAngelo and LeVar Ball, or the dad. I get them all mixed up. There's LaMelo, there's LiAngelo, there's Lonzo, LeVar. I'm not a big LeVar Ball fan, but I will give him credit because he did develop these kids to be top draft picks. Two of the three are going to go in the top three or four picks in the NBA draft. Now, maybe they've survived in spite of him, but they have the talent. He said they were going to be great, and they have been. I would take, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, LaMelo Ball. Now, the reason why I would is maybe I'm developing the next group of stars on my team, the next team that's going to come in after Steph Curry's done and Klay Thompson's done, Draymond Green is done. If I can get somebody who I think is got a high ceiling, I'm not big on his shot. I think he thinks he's Steph Curry when he comes over the half-court line. But understand this, that LaVar Ball is extremely selfish, wanting all the credit with what goes on with his kids. His kids on the floor are extremely unselfish. When you think about their best traits, they pass the ball. LaMelo and Lonzo are extremely good at seeing the floor and passing the ball. Now, if I could have LaMelo Ball work with Steph, work with Klay, two of the greatest shooters of all time, maybe there's hope that I'm developing into something really unique there as a 6'6", 6'7", point guard. I've watched him since his freshman year in high school. Actual games with him. I thought he was undisciplined. His shot is low, but his ability to see the floor. My concern is he plays as much defense as I do, and his shot selection can be erratic. I think because he hasn't played disciplined basketball in his career, that will hurt him. But as far as the ceiling goes, LaMelo Ball intrigues me. I just have to say to Dad, you can't come to the games. Yes, Seton.
How do you think it would go over with Steph and Clay and the guys on the roster now when you say, hey, we're not drafting somebody that can help you right now. We want you to train the next generation for
us.
Well,
he can help you now. I'm just saying he could be your star player in 3 or 4 years. Let's say 4 years. What's Steph Curry going to be like? Klay Thompson, will he still be there? Draymond Green, will he still be there? But if I have somebody who I think is unique and is a great passer, he's 6'6", 6'7", I've got a matchup advantage every time I step on the floor at that position. I just have to work on the shot. But yeah, you got to add depth there. And if I'm Golden State and I wanted to do something totally unique, I would take LaMelo Ball. Yes, Paul.
I guess with guys like LaMelo Ball, I look at how many red flags there are that person can be a bust. And, you know, I know he's not his brother, but his brother is flirting with being an NBA career average player. Can't shoot free throws, can't shoot any other way, and is a nice point guard.
Yeah.
So that's a strike one. Now, LaMelo Ball can't shoot the basketball. That's strike two.
And he can shoot better than his brother.
Okay.
But then I can too.
You can too.
Yes.
And he doesn't play defense.
Well, defense is an attitude.
Right. Like
you just have to want to play defense.
I don't think I would want that in a top three pick. Maybe if it was the 15th pick.
Well, we don't know if James Wiseman can play offense.
No.
I don't know anything about James Wiseman other than he's 6'11". I can get a center anywhere. Anywhere. I walk outside and probably get a center. But as far as getting somebody who plays the point guard position, and he plays it the way he plays it. He does have experience playing overseas with grown men. I just find him undisciplined at times, doesn't play defense. His ability to see the floor is really, really, really rare. Really rare. The shot is too low, and he thinks he's Steph Curry. It goes back to what I always say about NFL picks. We'll go, let me tell you all the negative things he does. But I would still take him because of the positive things that he does. And that capability. Anthony Edwards will go number one. I don't know about Obi Toppin. I don't know about James Wiseman in today's NBA. But LaMelo Ball was raised for this moment. And if I'm Golden State, I'd have no problems taking him. Yeah, McLevin.
I've been doing some YouTube scouting, and his shooting percentage is 1,000 in these videos. I tell you, I see Steph Curry. I see.
Well,
like
no,
a
he
little...
wants to be Steph Curry. Nobody shoots like Steph Curry.
But he has that one motion. Steph Curry's got a low release too. You know,
But it goes in on that low release.
I think LaMelo hits a lot of these shots.
Well, he does make more shots than his brother. His shot looks better. You know, Lonzo starts the ball on the left side and brings it over. LaMelo brings it from his hip straight up. And I always wonder about that with defenders. If you put your hand on his hip and then you sort of force him to come around your hand and, play those mind games there. But I would take him. I think he's fascinating. And I think Golden State, if I had that coming off the bench, I think that would be really interesting. And, just understanding the game, seeing it through Steve Kerr's eyes, Steph's eyes, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, I think you could have something special. Now, do I like Anthony Edwards because I think he's the most ready player with the least amount of red flags? Absolutely. But every one of these players, you're not quite sure. They do some things well. They don't do some things well. They're very young, and they're going into a league that you've got to be able to shoot. You got to run, transition, and that's why LaMelo Ball interests me. I never thought that I would say that. Now, I do like Lonzo. Yeah, I just think Lonzo might, his ceiling is it feels like he's approaching his ceiling because he can't shoot. But he does see the floor, he rebounds, he plays defense. It's just, I can't build around that. But LaMelo, you might have him sort of by proxy understand the game and become a better player by being around these players. Yeah, Paul.
I'm on the Ringer's website, and they do the deepest dives on the players in the draft. I've been studying up because none of us saw these guys play last year. And the player comps are really beyond specific. Like LaMelo Ball, they compared him to Jason Williams, remember, out of Florida? The white kid?
Oh, white chocolate.
Yeah, white chocolate. They compare him to Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. McLovin goes, who's the comp for LaMelo Ball? I go, Lonzo.
That's not good. And then Sean Livingston, they compare him to.
Ooh.
who was, you know, had injuries.
But he got injured. Yeah.
A nice player.
Yeah.
They get really specific in their comparisons. They compared James Wiseman to a mild-mannered Rasheed Wallace.
What does that mean? He's not going to get technical?
Yes, without the crazy.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad. I'd take that.
All right. Yes, McLovin.
I've seen a lot of Hassan Whiteside with James Wiseman, and Hassan Whiteside is the poster boy for people who do not fit in the 2020 NBA.
Yes. I can get a center. I can get a center anywhere. But to get these players who do something that's special, something unique, that's why if you're Golden State and you're going, who's the guy who has the most upside? Because if I'm drafting at number two, who knows when Golden State will get up there to number two ever again in the next 5 years, 7 years. You have this unique situation because of injuries. And if you have somebody who has that upside, I'd go get him. And then I would take my chances. The draft is littered with busts, in particular with these younger players. If LaMelo doesn't pan out, okay. It's not the end of the world because you got a gift to be up there at number two. Why not swing for a home run here? Whoever you're taking. Now, to move down to four, who's at four that you want? And Chicago moving up probably wants LaMelo Ball, I'm guessing. I mean, it feels like James Wiseman, you want to move up for him? And who knows what Billy Donovan is going to want? I mean, Billy Donovan does have point guards. Then you have Kobe White. I guess, is he a point guard? Yeah, McLovin.
If you're going to judge a draft based on player comps, this is the worst draft I've ever seen. Like, basically, Anthony Edwards is going to go number one, and he's like a slightly higher Robert Covington. There's no, like, who
people
is
don't even know who that is.
I mean, who is the great player that, oh, here's one, Zach LaVine for him. Like, there's just no.
Okay, but Zach LaVine's an all-star.
Yeah, but number one overall, you want your player comp to be an all-time player, like a Hall of Fame level player, and that's.
Well, we just don't have that player. It's like Anthony Bennett. You know, when Anthony Bennett went number one overall, how he went a number one overall, never understand. But, I mean, there are a lot of drafts where we look at the top five picks. The teams that are great, that aren't smart, always find that guy 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th. You know, that's where you do your research, and it feels like got to go up there top. I would move down in the draft if I could, but I don't know if Golden State can or any of these other teams. I don't know if Minnesota wants the number one pick. Yeah, McLovin.
Denny Avija.
I like him.
I have the Bleacher Report comp, and I'm asking Paulie to get the ringer. If you could guess this, I would be shocked.
I could guess it without even looking. It's going to be three taller European basketball players. Guaranteed, because you only can compare a European player prospect to a European player. That's mandatory.
His comparison will be Detlef Schrempf.
Maybe. Bleacher Report went non-European, but maybe a European-style player.
Okay.
With a mustache, who is in the news because of contract situation right now. Gordon Hayward. I don't get that at all, by the way.
Okay.
The Ringer compares him to Danilo Gallinari, Nicholas Batum, and Dario Saric.
Okay. I mean, those are good players. Solid players, I should say. Solid players. Yeah, you threw me off with the mustache with Gordon Hayward.
Oh, he's got a super thick mustache going right now. I saw it the other day. It's crazy. Mm. By the way, Denny Avija is Israeli, but his dad was on the Serbian national team, so he's part of that legacy.
This program brought to you by Masterclass. Speaking of Steph Curry, he's got a Masterclass that you can take. There's over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, get another annual membership absolutely free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick, masterclass.com/Patrick. Kyle in California leads us off. What's on your mind, Kyle?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
So I've got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
One Warriors, one Anthony Edwards. Really want your opinion on the Warriors thing, but I'm going to throw out the Edwards thing. Would not be saying pre-draft, quoting, saying, I'm still not really into basketball and would leave basketball tomorrow to play football. Not sure that's a great idea. And then the Warriors. Do they go LaMelo? Do they go Danny Avdija? Is Draymond's going to be the Draymond of old? Danny might be the guy, but who's another playmaker besides Steph? Wiggins? You know, before it was Barnes, then it was KD. Is Wiggins around? Do they trade that in the pick?
I think they like him. I think they like Wiggins right now with that role. But I would take LaMelo and read the entire article, the entire profile on Anthony Edwards. The entire article. Because if you take the quote out where he says, you know, I always love football and I leave to play football. Well, he's not leaving to play football. And he grew up in a very, very difficult family environment. That quote's getting a lot of buzz. And I don't think it's fair to the kid. Reed, is it on the Ringer, McLovin? Is that the profile on Anthony Edwards?
I'm not sure. We're efforting.
Yeah, I just saw the quotes. And then I read the article, and I'm trying to think where I read it. But it really just gives you a background on everything that he's gone through. And growing up, a pretty tough environment here. But I think that stands out as there have been players that we've spoken to in different sports who talk about wanting to play another sport. That doesn't mean that they're going to give up this opportunity to play in the NBA and be the number one pick overall. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, I was reading on ESPN. His mom died when he was 14, and his grandmother was caretaker died the same year.
No.
So he never, after that, he didn't have a lot of stability at home.
Yeah, I when you read the story, and maybe it's on ESPN.com, we'll find it. But
there's a couple big features on him, yeah, and they're all very kind of, they pull on the heartstrings a little bit.
Yes, I mean it's a great story for him to go where he's been and to go to Georgia and now be the number one overall pick, and I do think he's ready to play. I mean he's built. He reminds me of James Harden in size. He can get a basket here. Donovan Mitchell is who comes to mind. Like one of those players who can go and he can, he could be that guy who gets the basket when you need him to get a basket. He's that talented. And it looks like he can play defense as well. Yeah, McLovin.
If he had gone to Duke or North Carolina, would this be a different conversation because we would have gotten some exposure?
Well, we would have seen him. Nobody was watching Georgia unless you accidentally stumbled upon Georgia and maybe they were playing Kentucky at the time. But he's a good player. He's a good player. We just don't know who's going to be that great player. And I think this is where you have to draft and go, this is who I think he's going to develop into or what he's going to develop into. That's really the key. Minnesota, I think they're taking Anthony Edwards to start the festivities. Yeah, Paul?
If you go back, I always like to look at drafts from 5 years ago. And it's just, I picked one random. The 2015 draft, Devin Booker was taken 13th by Phoenix. This guy's a borderline superstar.
Yeah.
But nobody talked about him that day.
Yeah. Yeah, what?
That's because those Kentucky guys were impossible to figure out what was going on because every time he churned through five first-round picks. We didn't know what Jamal Murray or Kevin Knox. I felt like there was a... Remember Calipari was on the show and he told you, he's like, watch out for these guys. They're better than everyone thinks. At the Final Four, he's told us, like, these guys...
Yeah, but he always does that to me.
He happened to be right with Devin Booker and Jamal.
Well, he's going to be right if he tells me every one of his players keep an eye on them. I think Nerlens Noel, he told me, was going to be great as well. Willie Cauley-Stein, I think he told me he was going to be great. I mean, come on. Jeff Shepard.
We loved Willie Cauley-Stein as a show.
I love Willie Cauley and the Steins. Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come up with a poll question. Phone calls are welcome. Got a few topics to dive into. Trevor Lawrence is back at practice. Wake and Duke postponed. Wichita State says goodbye to Greg Marshall. And boy, they give him a nice parting gift. Unbelievable. Theo Epstein's leaving the Cubs. The Dodgers' Cody Bellinger has shoulder surgery. And the NBA draft coming up tonight. Take a break. 20 after the hour. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Imagine the happiest you've ever been. Now double it. That's what it's like when you eat a Built Bar. First of all, the bars are delicious. The kicker is they're guilt-free. 130 calories guilt-free. If you're looking for something in between meals, let's say you're going to go work out. Let's say you just worked out. 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs, guilt-free. And I know what you're thinking. Built Bar is pretty good, right, for a protein bar? No, it's great for a protein bar, and it feels like a candy bar. It tastes like that. Maybe your COVID-19 turned into COVID-15 around the belly. Built Bar has come to the rescue. Eating a healthy snack has never been easier and tastier. 18 flavors. Mint brownie, high on my list. You'll believe me when you taste it. And the best part, you go to Built Bar, B-U-I-L-T, BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code DP. You're going to save 20% off your order right away. So promo code is DP. It's builtbar.com. Builtbar.com, promo code DP. You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. If you're curious about product placement, how about this? DeAndre Hopkins' photo, the game-winning touchdown reception, yields $5.7 million in exposure for Nike. The Jumpman 23 brand earned $5.7 million in media exposure and counting. DeAndre Hopkins missing out on the payday because he's not a Nike athlete. Oh. That photo is awesome because you see the Jumpman, the Jordan logo there on the left hand or right hand of DeAndre Hopkins when he's making that grab. But that's a whole lot of money there. We'll come up with a poll question here. I'm looking at these player comps for the draft tonight. Nobody looks really good here with some of these player comps. Now, I will say Anthony Edwards, this according to Bleacher Report. Historical comparison, prime Vince Carter.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Then it should be a foregone conclusion. Like, we know who we're taking if we're Minnesota. You give me prime Vince Carter. The player comparison currently in the NBA is Zach LaVine. All right, I'll take that. If the ceiling is Vince and, you know, the floor is Zach LaVine, I'll take that. LaMelo Ball, the player comp, Caris LeVert of Brooklyn and Ricky Rubio. Historical comparison, Penny Hardaway.
Sollins injuries?
Yes. Oh. And Jason Williams, White Chocolate. Obi Toppin, player comp, John Collins of the Hawks, who I like. I don't know if he's going to be great. Historical comparison, Amari Stoudemire. Here's Tyler Halliburton out of Iowa State. His player comp, Lonzo Ball. Historical comparison is a prime Jose Calderon. When did he have a prime? RJ Hampton. Player comp, Jordan Clarkson of the Jazz. Historical comparison, prime OJ Mayo.
Oh, no.
Did he have a prime? Yes, Paul.
Jose Calderon has played 17 years and averaged 8 points and five assists a game.
But in his prime, what did he average?
8 points, five. No, 10 points, eight assists, and did not make an All-Star team.
Okay, all right. James Wiseman, player comp, Hassan Whiteside of the Blazers. Historical comparison, prime DeAndre Jordan. All right, I'll take a prime DeAndre Jordan. Killian Hayes, point guard from France. Player comp, D'Angelo Russell. Historical comparison, prime Goran Dragic. All right, that's pretty good. Greg Anthony's son, Cole Anthony at North Carolina. Player comp, Jamal Murray of the Nuggets. Historical comparison, Ben Gordon. That sounds like a whole lot of offense there. Yes, Paul?
I lean towards taking a player, a good player's son in the draft as a safer pick. Is that a mental thing or is that real? Because he grew up around a dad who was a high-end professional athlete. Greg Anthony was a good point guard. And if I could get that, I'll take it. That's a sure thing. It's a nice sure thing, not a, you know, 10-time All-Star sure thing.
Yes, Tom.
And you're extra motivated to, you know, not be in your, you know, dad's footsteps and show that, you know, you weren't handed anything, but you're a really good player. And it's, you know, it's not just you have the same last name as a great father that played.
Would you be nervous taking LaMelo Ball? Just be, not talent-wise. Oh, everybody's nervous taking LaMelo Ball. Okay. I'm not. I'm good, but with his dad, because his dad loves to take a victory lap there. He's not really involved in Lonzo's career as much anymore, it feels like. I mean, he's been kind of quiet, which is great. Although he did have a quote saying that his sons will never meet a good woman while they're playing in basketball, that he said that all they're going to meet is hoes.
He said that?
Yeah. Yesterday. That quote came out. That's because they look you up on the internet. They see how much you make. They do all their research. They know who you are. They know everything about you.
How would he know? He didn't play. How the hell would he know anything about
this? It's his quote. I don't know. It's his quote.
He didn't play any high-end basketball.
I know. But he could beat Jordan one-on-one. Yes, McLovin. But yeah, Google it, that. Google LeVar Ball with a quote about his sons meeting a woman to marry. Yeah, McClellan.
But I think you could argue he's not just a good sports dad. He might be the greatest sports dad of all time because he's going to have a number two pick, two number two picks of guys who can't even shoot. He's doing something incredibly right.
Yeah.
And also, Lonzo's a great dude. He's
I'm
going to
guess the kids did a lot of this. I'm going to guess that the kids deserve a whole lot of credit. You know who deserves credit too? I'm going to guess mom deserves a little credit too. Yeah. And all the health things that she's gone through. But by all accounts, it seems like Alonzo's a good dude. I don't hear anything about them.
I tweeted something out about that yesterday. I was like, well, what about the years of terrible treatment they got from their dad? I don't sense that in their personalities. They seem like pretty tight family.
I have no idea. I just know that he was present with his kids. And there's something to be said of being there for your kids. You know, as much as we look at Venus and Serena as finished products, Richard Williams was there with them and knew exactly what he had. Tiger Woods' dad knew exactly what he had and developed that. You know, the Bosa brothers, their dad, a former number one pick, he knew what they had there. Archie Manning, to be there with them, be in the moment, be coaching them, be around them. You know, there's something to be said for that. And not all dads are willing to be that invested. Yes, Seton.
So, but the difference between the Ball family and every other family that you just mentioned mm-hmm. is their dads didn't turn their kids' career into a joke. You know, like the Ball family, they're just their presence comes with an eye roll from a lot of people. Maybe not basketball people, but pretty much everybody else is like, oh, God, yeah, these guys.
Yeah.
And that, you know, their dad is the one who did that.
Yep.
By being just such a buffoon and acting like such an idiot. He's the one that has sort of ruined their reputation as basketball players.
Yeah, and I said that at the time, and we were offered, you know, LeVar Ball, we were offered, and I said, I'm not interested. I don't want to talk to him. I want to talk to Lonzo or, you know, LaMelo. I don't want to talk to dad because dad's going to take all the credit. And the kids are the ones who developed into something here. And, you know, the Big Baller brand and the reality show and all of those things that were really for the dad. I think the kids did well. And the fact that, you know, LaMelo went overseas to learn the game. Lonzo didn't work out with the Lakers. Maybe he doesn't work out with the Pelicans, but still, he was, you know, top five pick. LaMelo is going to be a top five pick. The best shooter in the family is not playing, LiAngelo. This program brought to you by Peacock. This Thanksgiving, the Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, Kevin Costner comes to Peacock exclusively November 22nd. If you're a newcomer like Seton, who just watched episode one again.
I did, yeah, second time through.
Are you going to be able to make it this time around?
This time I am, yeah. The first time it didn't get me, and I was like, meh, I think I'll pass. But now I watched it again, and I was like, wait a minute, I get it. I see what's going on here.
Oh, the green light should be on because it is binge watching, binge worthy. Start streaming seasons one and two right now. Here's the quote. From LeVar Ball, his advice to his sons, explaining why they're only going to meet hoes while living the jet-setting life as pro basketball players. You're never going to meet a nice woman, especially in basketball. You're not going to find nobody like I found your mom, LeVar explained. This is the Endless Hustle podcast. If you're in this profession, you get all the fame and notoriety. How are you going to meet a good girl? You're not. LeVar says the only places NBA players meet women during their busy careers, restaurants, clubs, or in the arenas. So I hate to tell you, but you're going to meet just how it goes, son. So, son, that's the bad part of life you're going to get. You're never going to meet a good woman. What else did he say? He also warned that by the time his kids understand what he's talking about, it'll be almost too late because if they meet a woman who's 30 and single, you got to wonder why she's by herself at 30. Wow. There's something that's dangerous no matter how good they look, but have a good time, son. I feel bad for you, but hey, I love the fact you made it. What else does he say? Says his boys will never meet a woman at a typical job or at a church because the demands of the NBA are too time-consuming. How are you going to meet somebody and be solid? It's not going to happen. Sorry, you'll have to retire. Wow, Dad. Man. Well, Lonzo was dating his girlfriend from high school for years. They had a child together. I'm going to guess that, you know, he gave it a shot there with somebody that he knew before he became truly famous. You know, see?
And what's he worried about his kids settling down in their 20s for or whatever? Like, you know, find a nice girl, settle down or whatever. Don't worry about it, dude. Play basketball.
Well, because Dad didn't have a career, and that's why he settled down. After that stellar college career where he averaged 3 points. I think he averaged 3 points more than I did in college. But, you know, he's got advice, and I can't discount, you know, some of his advice and then see what he did with his other advice with his kids. But he's got two that are going in the top five of the draft. Something to be said for that. What's poll question today, McLovin?
Okay, we could go with the number one pick. I was going to ask, who do you think will go number one? But I don't know if anyone has a strong opinion on that. Who should go number one? Is that a better question? Or I don't even know if our audience is
this is really niche draft coming up tonight. Even you know, the basketball fanatics, it's hard to... I'm not going to be all in on this draft tonight. There's a couple of players I'm curious about. There's a couple of teams I'm curious about. Are there going to be trades here? Mannix will join us coming up next hour. But if you're trying to find a franchise player, you might find one in Anthony Edwards. You might. But it feels like the guy who might be slipping through the cracks, you find somebody at the 16th pick overall, that might be the guy that we look back on and go, wow, they found themselves a Bam Adebayo there. Yeah, Pauline.
How about a poll? If you were the GM of the Warriors, would you draft a player that could play now, draft a player who's a project but has much more upside, or trade your draft pick for a player that could help you this season? Philosophically, where would you land?
Yeah, but this has to do with LaMelo Ball, and I think LaMelo can help you now. I think he can help you in the future. And they, you know, eventually, when you draft a young player, that's your future. So like it or not, Golden State, you know, if Steph Curry or Klay Thompson is going to go, well, there's our future. Yes, that's what happens when you draft somebody young. That's the next wave that'll come in for you, and maybe that's LaMelo Ball. Maybe you just ask something as simple, would you draft LaMelo Ball? And it doesn't have to be the Warriors. It could be anybody. I'm just saying it fits with the Warriors because I have an infrastructure there that I feel really secure about. I got great front office, great coach. I've got Hall of Famers on the floor. And by having him come in, he must listen to you. He must do it your way. If he goes to a franchise, you know, if he went to like Cleveland, then I wouldn't have as much confidence in LaMelo Ball being successful. But if you go to Golden State and you learn, and you're learning from professionals, and you got guys who shoot as well as anybody in the history of the game, I think that that can only help him, that he understands the game. And he's far more disciplined when he gets to the NBA. Because you go back to his freshman year in high school, and he would just dribble around and jack it up. And there was no discipline whatsoever. And that continued. I watched him in one of the state playoff games, and I went, dribbling down the clock. And he made no attempt to get to the hoop or a shorter jump shot. It was like an off-balance 30-footer. And I went, what are you doing? He won't be doing that with Golden State if he goes there. Yeah, McLovin.
Golden State loved one of his player comps with Sean Livingston, right? Who just left, retired, went with the front office of the team.
So. Yeah, and we never got to see the greatness of Sean, who in college, you know, he had knee surgery and he was a good player.
But he's very good in that Warriors system, though.
Yeah, right? He was a good role player. But we didn't get to see greatness due to the knee surgeries. Yes, Seton.
See, like, that's part of the problem, too, though, is that, like, because of all of the attention on the Ball family, right? Yeah. We're watching LaMelo Ball at, you know, 13 or 14 years old, jacking up shots from all over the place, looking like a 14-year-old kid. That's kind of what they do. That's kind of how they play. But instead, there's, you know, YouTube reels of just how terrible this kid was when he was 14, or look how great he was when he was 15, you know?
Well, I think what happened is 14-year-olds on the varsity don't shoot like that. They don't take 30-footers. If you're a senior, you're not doing it because you're smart enough to know, right, I'm not taking 30-footers. He's 14, acting 14, when he's on the varsity. Like, if I did that, like, I would never play again.
Not even close.
I'd be like, dude. And I can shoot. This guy can't shoot. And he's out there jacking it up. They all want to be Steph Curry. Now he gets a chance to be with Steph Curry. I don't know. Feels like Michael Jordan would want LaMelo Ball too.
Mike is.
Well, there you go. That's the worst thing you could say.
I was on the fence
before about this theory, but now I know it's terrible.
You just self-debunked yourself, I think.
Oh, you know, you're right. Well, he's also interested, reportedly, in Russell Westbrook. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
You know, Mike, as an owner and GM, he was a great player. All right, we'll take a break here. Your phone call's coming up. We'll settle on a poll question. Do you want to go with LaMelo Ball? Would you draft him?
Yeah, we could start with
that. All right, let me see. I'm curious.
I got some piping hot NFL questions.
Piping hot.
/ takes for whenever you need them. I think that you're going to raise an eyebrow or two.
Okay. Is this against the grain?
It's got an against the grain energy about
it. Where is against the grain been? We'll take a break. We got our play of the day coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Left side, got it!
Check this out.
Hand off Jarrett, up the middle, squirts through a hole, still going at the 50. There he goes! At the 30, at the 20, at the 10, bullseye! 300 yards rushing for Jarrett Patterson!
Put it in the bank for Jarrett Patterson. All him, all day, he owns Bowling Green.
Jarrett Patterson of Buffalo set a school record 301 yards rushing last night. Had 298 against that same Bowling Green team last year. That's 599 yards, the most by an FBS player against a single opponent over a two-year span since LaDainian Tomlinson ran for 711 against Texas El Paso. The Buffaloes won 42-17.
Put it in the bank.
Yes. Bullseye! Play of the day brought to you by 1-800-FLOWERS. Deliver all the feels of Thanksgiving with a beautiful bouquet or arrangement. To order, go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com. You see the radio icon, enter code Patrick. You're good to go, celebrating a little bit differently this holiday season. I saw this. The Patriots cornerback, J.C. Jackson, leads the NFL with 6 interceptions. He started 4 games. He was left off the Pro Bowl voting list. You know who left him off the Pro Bowl voting list? The Patriots left him off the Pro Bowl voting list. It's up to the teams. Jackson's scheduled to be a restricted free agent in the offseason. I don't sense anything nefarious here. Not at all. Probably not going to help you sign him. Let's put it that way. I also saw this report or rumor somewhere in between that the Wizards and the Rockets have discussed exchanging John Wall for Russell Westbrook. And I thought, okay, let me figure this out here. If I'm Washington and I can get Russell Westbrook, I do it right now. If I'm the Rockets, I go, why do I want John Wall? He's not as interesting as Russell Westbrook. He's coming off a serious injury. I get no cap relief whatsoever. He's not a great shooter. So why am I bringing in John Wall? Why don't I just keep Russell Westbrook? Unless you say Russ wants out, I don't want to bring in John Wall because Russell Westbrook wants out. And by the way, James Harden's under contract the next 2 years. And I said this yesterday, and I firmly believe it. Rockets have leverage here. You know, maybe this gets interesting. Maybe it gets a little messy there. But I'm going to say to James Harden, you want to go to Brooklyn, and you only want to go to Brooklyn. That ties our hands. We need to get another offer here. We need to get something in return because we invested in you. We made the trade. We got rid of Chris Paul. You wanted that. We brought in Russell Westbrook. We gave up all of our future draft picks here. And now you want out. Now, if it's true that part of this has to do with the politics of the owner of the Rockets, as Rick Bucher reported yesterday, did it just dawn on Russell Westbrook, the owner of the Rockets' politics? Because I've known of his politics for a long time. That's the reason why you want out? You better be checking the politics of the owner of the Brooklyn Nets then, or anybody else you might be going to as well, if that's the case. But I saw that with John Wall and Russell Westbrook, and I was saying, what? Why would you take John Wall if you're the Rockets? And I have nothing against John Wall, because people say, you said you wouldn't go outside to watch John Wall if he was in your backyard. I would go out and say hello. John, you can shoot. Go ahead. I mean, he's a five-time All-Star. I'll tune in to watch Bradley Beal. But I've seen John Wall's best work. Like, I'm just not interested in that. And a guy who's going to cost you $42 million and then $47 million? Yikes. Maddox will join us coming up next hour. Chris in Georgia joins us right now. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, man.
Hey.
So, I wanted to ask you, Dan, wouldn't you say, you know, that the majority of the picks in the last 10, 15 years that we thought were going to be superstars in the draft usually ended up coming off the bench? And the people that get picked after maybe the 10th pick and later in the draft end up going on to be really great players.
Yeah.
And I don't understand this thing about how LaMelo would go to this team and it would be a more secure pick for them, because every team in the NBA has professionals. And if he goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're filled with professionals. Kevin Love has won the NBA title. He's been in the league. He should be able to teach this guy how to play in the NBA. Every single team in the NBA should be able to teach this kid how to play in the NBA.
But they don't. They don't have the infrastructure there. I mean, Cleveland was a mess when John Beilein was there. Everybody wanted out. You have one of the most stable organizations in all the sports with Golden State. With players, coaches, front office. You have a stability there that would help LaMelo Ball. It would help anybody who goes there. But I'm just saying, a guy who was undisciplined in high school and playing overseas, and you go there, and now you have to learn the Golden State way. It's like when you go to the Patriots. You're asked to adhere to a certain set of rules. So, that's it. Yeah, McLovin.
I completely forgot John Beilein was the Cavs coach. Yeah. How many games did he even stay there for?
It felt like he was there for a semester. Yeah, that's about it. But I'm just saying, LaMelo in that situation, of all the draft picks, if he would go, given how specific they are with their shooting, their passing, the movement with the ball, those are all things that LaMelo Ball can help out with. We have draft news, according to Paulie.
This is big, Dan. The New York Knicks have gotten moved up to the 23rd pick in the draft. The Utah Jazz, they gave up the 27th pick and 38th to move up 4 spots to 23.
That could change the entire draft.
Game changer.
Chris Mannix will join us coming up. Get his thoughts. James Harden going to be traded before the start of the season? Russell Westbrook going to be traded? I don't think so.